This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Branken of the Archdiocese of Chicago. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at georgetownvisitation.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I guess it's in a kind of a unique place, but one of the most beautiful shrines dedicated to Our Lady of Guadalupe is in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Now the church building itself is just gorgeous, and as you drive down the road, I think it's 14, and you look off in the distance, it's all hilly there, but you look off in the distance and you can see the church on the hill emerging from the side of the hill in the middle of the woods. It's just breathtaking. But truly everything about this church and the surroundings is beautiful, and its beauty gives great honor to the Virgin of Guadalupe. Now there is in this church, which is built a few years ago, a series of what we used to call side altars. Now those are side altars. In some old churches they would have side altars up and down where we have our shrines. There would be an actual altar in there. These were all in this church, they were all dedicated to the various saints. Now just in case we were thinking that saints and holiness and heroism on the part of the faith were things from 1,000 years ago and no longer part of our lives and no longer possibilities in our lives, Archbishop Burke, who built that church, wanted us to think again. Because on each of these side altars are wonderful images of the saints of our times. Yes, he wants to say holiness is possible for us even if we do live in the most unholy of times. Now, one of the side altars has an incredible painting of St. Maria Goretti, whose feast we just celebrated this week. And every time when I was in that church, I passed the picture, the tears welled up in my eyes, which is so striking. Now, you know the story of Maria Goretti. She was just a poor little farm girl from Italy, about the age of 12, and she had just made her first communion. You can only imagine how beautiful that first communion was for her. The beauty of the Mass reflected the beauty of her life and her dreams and her soul, and she had a good family and a wonderful future. It was all full of love, all full of beauty. I would imagine that when she came back from Holy Communion, she put her head down like we used to in the old days, and put her face in her hands, and her heart was all astir because she was talking to our Lord Jesus, and our Lord Jesus was talking to her. And maybe our Lord told her at that first communion that she was going to have to be strong in her life. Maybe she wondered why our Lord told her that she was going to have to be strong, but our Lord was right, because one of his precious little lambs is about to be hurt. You see, one of the young men in the town, Alessandro, who did not pray, who did not go to church, who did not think good things, who did not do good things, had let Satan into his heart. And he was totally obsessed with harming Maria. He wanted to assault her and he wanted to hurt her. She who knew no sin was about to be hurt by him who wallowed in sin. And hurt her he did, in a brutal, brutal assault, which Maria resisted at every moment. Finally, he stabbed her multiple times and left her for dead, but she wasn't dead. She was still alive, and she was found by her family. She died the next day with the forgiveness of her attacker on her lips. Now, her family must have been totally, totally devastated by her death. And probably for years, I can imagine, they relived over and over again in their imagination, in their mind's eye, the vision of their child, the fruit of their love, how she was harmed so viciously, and her life was cut so short. I can hear them saying and crying, why, why, why? But you see, there is no reason why. This is what Satan has done for us. This is what Satan has done to us. And what he has done to God's good creation, he has twisted it, he's perverted it, he's corrupted it, he's compromised it. We suffer, and we suffer greatly. Not because God makes us suffer, but because Satan has made us suffer. Little Maria Goretti, who did nothing to anyone but be a good little girl, suffered at the hands of a bad young man who thought only of his sick wants and perverted desires. She died because a young man did not give his life to Jesus, and therefore he gave his life to Satan. Satan, I think, can be considered the default mechanism in the life of a Christian. When we fail to pray daily, weekly, at every moment, we can fall, and there's the devil waiting to catch us. He's the default in our lives. Now, maybe Alessandro didn't initially think to hurt her so bad, but he did. Maybe we could say, oh, he lost control. But what he really did is he just finally gave in to Satan. He said, I will resist no more, and didn't make any difference how or who he hurt. Now, the story does not end there, by any means, because Jesus has conquered Satan, and he's given us the victory. So if sin and suffering are part of this life, and that which has been given to us by the devil, then forgiveness and salvation are also part of this life, and what have been given to us by God. And the forgiveness and the salvation trump everything else. While he was in prison, Maria's murderer began to pray. It took him 3 years before he even started to pray, but it took him 3 years and he started to pray. And he began to repent, and he began to regret what he had done. And he began to ask for forgiveness from God and, of course, from Maria in heaven. And he had a dream that Maria did forgive him. So when he was finally released from prison, he was about 50 now, so he was in prison for about 30 years, he went to the home of Mrs. Goretti, Maria's mother, to beg her pardon for what he had done to their little daughter. I suspect she would have been within her rights when he shows up at the door to say to Alessandro, go away, you beast, and leave us alone. But she didn't. Because she knew that if God had forgiven him, she could do no less than God. And so together they went to Mass that day, and they received Holy Communion as a sign that the Gorettis had forgiven Alessandro Serinelli. Did you know that in Maria's canonization in 1950, she was canonized as saint, she was considered a martyr for purity. Not only was her mother there, but Alessandro was there as well. What an unlikely scene that must have been. There they all are at St. Peter's, the family of the martyr, and the one who caused her martyrdom. Well, very soon after that, Alessandro went into a monastery and became a monk, dying probably a very holy death by 1970. Maybe someday he too will be canonized, and what a story that would be. But all of it anyways, what a tribute to the power of God, to the power of God's love, and to the power of the cross. And the cross's forgiveness is the story of Maria Goretti. God is the victor, ever glorious, and no sin and no Satan and no evil and no suffering can ever overtake us if we but pray and pray always. But make no mistake, the victory is ultimately won. But this is a battle, this life. And in personally, in every person's life, the victory is not assured. We live in an era that is saturated with the same spirit that possessed Alessandro Serinelli. And this era belongs to Satan, and it's against anything that's good and sweet and innocent like Maria. We live in an age which tells us to take what we want and when we want. Instant gratification is the goal of modern life, even if what we want is totally immoral and causes others to suffer. So what? That's their problem. We've been led to believe by everything we read or see or hear that there's no God who cares what we do, so go ahead and do it. And besides, evil is only in the eyes of the beholder. If you think it's good, then it's good for you. How many times have I heard that? We are constantly being infected with the same spirit that possessed Alessandro Serinelli, and we don't even know it. or every silly show we watch on television, or every movie that we pay to see, or the internet, or a newspaper article that we read, where we read about celebrities and vampires in love, or any of the host of lust and violence-filled entertainment, which is what our modern life is with, which is totally consumed, we are consorting with the same enemy that took the life of that little girl in Italy so many years ago. We cannot play footsie with the devil and pretend that we are on the way to holiness. And yet every involvement with modern life and the modern media is playing footsie with the devil. And we need to stop it if we wish to claim Christ's victory for ourselves. Modern TV, internet, movies, it's this in a nutshell. Ugly, mean people doing ugly, mean things to each other. And we constantly fill our minds and our eyes and our hearts with these kinds of images, constantly. And we cannot help but be hurt by it all. All the images we see and all the pictures we imbibe and all the strange values and ideas that we consume in this modern world are forming us and they're deforming us. And that's just the way it is. It is so true. We are what we eat. And we're foundering on it. Is there a solution? I think so. Maybe we just have to pull the plug. Maybe we have to pull away from the images and the concepts and the temptations of modern life, the drumbeat in our heads and our hearts of desire and violence and selfishness. At the very least, we should consider severely limiting and prescribing and proscribing our viewing of television and movies and our reading and our texting and our iPodding and our BlackBerry and cut it way, way back. Maybe that will help to save us. But if that doesn't work, then maybe we have to turn it off. Sure, that's radical. But the difference between life and death is radical too. The difference between saving our soul and losing our soul is radical. The difference between heaven and hell is radical. We need to know that our lives will never be truly happy if we are only intent on doing what we want to do, on satisfying our lusts and desires, on entertaining ourselves, which is what modern life and modern media are all about. Our lives will be happy and fulfilled when they are first full of prayer to the good God and then full of good deeds for one another. And how beautiful to live lives like that. And that should be our goal, nothing less. Now maybe sometimes to choose to live life like that, apart from the modern world, apart from the media, no TV, no radio, no newspapers, no internet, is difficult. But at least there will be no regrets. There won't be. And it might gain us heaven, as it did for Maria Goretti, and then much later for Alessandro Serinelli. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.